This is the University of Cambridge International General Certificate of Secondary Education June 1990 examination in English as a second language. Paper 4. Listening comprehension. Welcome to the exam. Your teacher is going to give out the question papers. When you get your paper, fill in your name and candidate number on the front page. Do not talk to anyone during the test. If you would like the tape to be louder, tell your teacher now. The tape will not be stopped while you are doing the test. If you are worried about anything, put up your hand and ask your teacher. Remember, you must not talk to anyone else. Good luck. The tape should now be stopped and the papers handed out. Now you are all ready, here is the test. Look at the questions for part one. There are 6 questions in this part of the exam. You will hear each question twice. For each question, you will hear a situation described as it is on your exam paper. For questions 1 to 6, you will hear a series of short sentences. Answer each question on the line provided. You will hear each question twice. Number 1. Your teacher makes an announcement. How does it affect you?
There won't be a lesson this week because I've got to go to a meeting. There won't be a lesson this week because I've got to go to a meeting.
Number 2. You overhear a waiter replying to a customer in a cafe. What did the customer ask for?
I'm sorry. We've run out of cold drinks at the moment, sir. But I can get you a coffee if you like. I'm sorry. We've run out of cold drinks at the moment, sir. But I can get you a coffee if you like.
Number 3. You're at a factory on a school visit. What should you do if the alarm goes off?
If the alarm should go off, there'll be a lot of activity. So please stay in your group and follow the supervisor. If the alarm should go off, there'll be a lot of activity. So please stay in your group and follow the supervisor.
Number 4. You have arrived for a job interview. Where do you have to wait?
If you follow the corridor along to the right, you'll find the manager's secretary. You can stay in her room until you're called to the manager's office. If you follow the corridor along to the right, you'll find the manager's secretary. You can stay in her room until you're called to the manager's office.
Number 5. You're in a department store and want to buy a scarf. Where are they?
Scarves?
Oh, yes, they've moved them again. They're on the second floor now, right by the escalators. You can't miss them. Scarves? Oh, yes, they've moved them again. They're on the second floor now, right by the escalators. You can't miss them.
Number 6. Someone wants you to call the police. Why?
Quick, phone the police. There's a man being attacked in the entrance to those flats. Quick, phone the police. There's a man being attacked in the entrance to those flats.
That is the last question in part one. In a moment, you will hear part two. Now, look at the exercise for part two, exercise one. Part 2, Exercise 1, Question 7. Listen to the school principal talking to some new students. Mark the plan according to his directions using the words given in the list. You will hear what the principal says twice.
Well, now you've heard something about your courses, I just want to take a few moments to explain the geography of the place. It's very straightforward, really. If you could just look at the plan in your folders. Okay. So, at the moment, you're in the main hall with your backs to the front entrance, right? Now, the double doors here in front of you lead to the music room. In fact, these doors aren't used very often because there are two side doors to the music room. The one to the right leads to the short corridor, as we call it. At the end of that corridor, immediately to your left as you come out of the music room, is a door set at an angle. This leads to the studio. The dark room opens out of the studio, naturally. Now, if you look again at the short corridor, you'll see there are three rooms along it. The door opposite the music room door leads to classroom one. Next to that is classroom two. And beyond that, at the front of the building, is classroom three. The rooms off the left, or long corridor, just like those on the right, except that they go right through to the back. They're numbered 4, 5, 6, 7, starting at the front. And so that's it. Very simple, really. Oh, except to say that the door right at the end of the long corridor leads to the canteen. Okay. So, now let's go on to look at your timetable.
Now you will hear what the principal says again.
Well, now you've heard something about your courses, I just want to take a few moments to explain the geography of the place. It's very straightforward, really. If you could just look at the plan in your folders. Okay. So, at the moment, you're in the main hall with your backs to the front entrance, right? Now, the double doors here in front of you lead to the music room. In fact, these doors aren't used very often because there are two side doors to the music room. The one to the right leads to the short corridor, as we call it. At the end of that corridor, immediately to your left as you come out of the music room, is a door set at an angle. This leads to the studio. The dark room opens out of the studio, naturally. Now, if you look again at the short corridor, you'll see there are three rooms along it. The door opposite the music room door leads to classroom one. Next to that is classroom two. And beyond that, at the front of the building, is classroom three. The rooms off the left, or long corridor, are just like those on the right, except that they go right through to the back. They're numbered 4, 5, 6, 7, starting at the front. And so that's it. Very simple, really. Except to say that the door right at the end of the long corridor leads to the canteen. Okay. So, now let's go on to look at your timetables.
That is the end of exercise one. In a moment, you will hear exercise two. Now look at the questions for exercise two. Exercise 2, questions 8 to 16. You will hear a radio announcer talking about the day's radio programs. Listen to the broadcast and complete the notes below. Keep your answers as short as possible. You will hear the broadcast twice.
And now for some listening highlights for today. This morning we find Sue Lawley interviewing biologist and conservationist Miriam Rothschild about her lifelong fascination with all forms of natural life, even fleas, worms and cockroaches. She'll be choosing music to be cast away with on a desert island. Just under an hour later, Special Assignment, introduced this week by our education correspondent Wendy Jones. She'll be discussing the trend in British universities to attract funding from industry for space research. You can hear the results of a survey which casts doubt on the practicality of such a venture. British companies will be represented on the programme by Sir Hari Rogmar and are thought to be more likely to give money to institutions which will provide them with a well-trained workforce ready to slot straight into industry's present needs. Listen at 10 a.m. to this topical discussion. After the midday news, Clinton Gavroche, in From Our Own Correspondent, reports from the bustling business centre of Singapore with an up-to-the-minute report of UK business involvement. There will also be an update on share and gold prices. This will be of special interest to all investors, both here in the UK and in Singapore. For schools and colleges, the Music and Synthesizers programme is on long wave at this time. We continue with educational matters this afternoon at 2 p.m. with the current worries about lack of recruitment of young people to the food industry. Many school leavers are encouraged to enter the catering business, but frequently end up not only being badly paid, but badly trained. However, the food industry wants to change its image, and in the food programme, Mary Cooper looks ahead to the food business of the 90s. That's in the food programme at 2 p.m. This evening at 7:20, we present the new programme, Poetry of Popular Song. This is a new series in which Roya da Silva looks at the work of some of the lesser-known songwriters from all over the world. The first programme of the series is about Julia de Angelo from Spain. The series will also include music and songs from the Gambia and Arabia. For those of you not so musically inclined, we can offer the evening play, featuring the Skipton Youth Theatre Group, who will be presenting an example of their work. The idea behind this exciting new company of young radio actors is to encourage other young people to write plays and poetry for the radio. There's an article in the Weekend Radio News next Saturday giving further information and an address where young people can contact the group. And finally, Book at Bedtime, written and read by Peter Ustinov. We hope you will stay with us through the day on the radio station, which gives you the best in entertainment, culture, and music.
Now you will hear the broadcast again.
And now for some listening highlights for today. This morning we find Sue Lawley interviewing biologist and conservationist Miriam Rothschild about her lifelong fascination with all forms of natural life, even fleas, worms and cockroaches. She'll be choosing music to be cast away with on a desert island. Just under an hour later, Special Assignment, introduced this week by our education correspondent, Wendy Jones. She will be discussing the trend in British universities to attract funding from industry for space research. You can hear the results of a survey which casts doubt on the practicality of such a venture. British companies will be represented on the programme by Sahari Rogmar and are thought to be more likely to give money to institutions which will provide them with a well-trained workforce ready to slot straight into industry's present needs. Listen at 10 a.m. to this topical discussion. After the midday news, Clinton Gavroche, in From Our Own Correspondent, reports from the bustling business centre of Singapore with an up-to-the-minute report of UK business involvement. There will also be an update on share and gold prices. This will be of special interest to all investors, both here in the UK and in Singapore. For schools and colleges, the Music and Synthesizers programme is on long wave at this time. We continue with educational matters this afternoon at 2 p.m. with the current worries about lack of recruitment of young people to the food industry. Many school leavers are encouraged to enter the catering business, but frequently end up not only being badly paid, but badly trained. However, the food industry wants to change its image, and in the food programme, Mary Cooper looks ahead to the food business of the 90s. That's in the food programme at 2 p.m. This evening at 7:20, we present the new programme, Poetry of Popular Song. This is a new series in which Roya De Silva looks at the work of some of the lesser-known songwriters from all over the world. The first programme of the series is about Julia De Angelo from Spain. The series will also include music and songs from the Gambia and Arabia. For those of you not so musically inclined, we can offer the evening play, featuring the Skipton Youth Theatre Group, who will be presenting an example of their work. The idea behind this exciting new company of young radio actors is to encourage other young people to write plays and poetry for the radio. There's an article in the Weekend Radio News next Saturday giving further information and an address where young people can contact the group. And finally, Book at Bedtime, written and read by Peter Ustinov. We hope you will stay with us through the day on the radio station, which gives you the best in entertainment, culture, and music.
That is the end of part two. In a moment, you will hear part three. Now look at the questions for part three, exercise one. Part 3. Exercise 1. Questions 17 to 22. Listen to Sarah and her brother Don talking about their exams and answer the questions by putting a tick in the box next to the correct choice. You will hear the conversation twice.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Don.
Isn't it wonderful to be on holiday at last?
Yeah, sure is.
Did you have a good term?
Not bad. What about you?
Not bad. We had lots of exams, though. And I failed, too.
Oh, no. Which ones?
Well, history and biology. The thing is, I can't get on with Mr. Green. He's one of the science teachers. The others are all right. But we have him for biology, so that makes it hard for me.
That's tough. What about history?
Well, to be honest, that was my own fault. You see, I missed the last lesson before the exam because I was ill. And I didn't bother to check whether the teacher said anything about it. And she did. She said exactly which dates we'd have questions on. So although I worked hard revising, I was doing the wrong period. A much later one. And I couldn't answer half the questions.
Oh, you dumbo.
Yeah, well, you can't win them all. In fact, I thought I was going to have the same problem with geography. Because when I saw the paper, I thought, oh, no, I don't know any of this. And then I realised there was another question on the back, and I could do it really easily. So I just scraped through that.
That was a bit of luck. Was that all?
No, we had three others. Maths, physics and chemistry. But I didn't have any trouble with them. They're my best subjects.
Oh, you are clever. Sciences are the ones I can never get a hold on. Maths isn't usually too bad, though. But then we don't have the same system as you. We get term assessments for most things instead of exams. But the one exam we did have, I passed. That was French.
Clever.
But unfortunately, I made a mess of my classwork during the term. So I've got an extra test at the beginning of next term before I can go on. Otherwise, there were just six sets of class marks, and it was only maths that was any trouble. It was really stupid. In fact, a lot of the people in my class complained to the teacher because we were halfway through the term and then we got a new book and the method and explanations were all different. So we all got muddled, even the people who weren't bad at maths before that.
Typical. They do things like that at my school too. Listen, I've got an idea. I'm good at maths, so I'll help you with that during the holidays and you can help me get my history and biology straightened out.
Well, I'm not sure. Well, I mean, I don't intend to spend all summer with my nose in some book.
Of course not.
But I guess I could help you learn up on your history. It won't matter whether I know it already or not. But as for biology, you know, sciences aren't my strong subjects.
Okay. Well, we can see how it works.
Anyway, that's enough about school. Did you see that amazing film on TV?
Now you will hear the conversation again.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Don. Isn't it wonderful to be on holiday at last?
Yeah, sure is.
Did you have a good term?
Not bad. What about you?
Not bad. We had lots of exams, though. And I failed, too.
Oh, no. Which ones?
Well, history and biology. The thing is, I can't get on with Mr. Green. He's one of the science teachers. The others are all right. But we have him for biology, so that makes it hard for me.
That's tough. What about history?
Well, to be honest, that was my own fault. You see, I missed the last lesson before the exam because I was ill. And I didn't bother to check whether the teacher said anything about it. And she did. She said exactly which dates we'd have questions on. So although I worked hard revising, I was doing the wrong period. A much later one. And I couldn't answer half the questions.
Oh, you dumbo.
Yeah, well, you can't win them all. In fact, I thought I was going to have the same problem with geography. Because when I saw the paper, I thought, oh, no, I don't know any of this. And then I realised there was another question on the back. And I could do it really easily. So I just scraped through that.
That was a bit of luck. Was that all?
No, we had three others. Maths, physics and chemistry. But I didn't have any trouble with them. They're my best subjects.
Oh, you're clever. Sciences are the ones I can never get a hold on. Maths isn't usually too bad, though. But then we don't have the same system as you. We get term assessments for most things instead of exams. But the one exam we did have, I passed. That was French.
Clever.
But unfortunately, I made a mess of my classwork during the term. So I've got an extra test at the beginning of next term before I can go on. Otherwise, there were just 6 sets of class marks, and it was only maths that was any trouble. It was really stupid. In fact, a lot of the people in my class complained to the teacher, because we were halfway through the term, and then we got a new book, and the method and explanations were all different. So we all got muddled, even the people who weren't bad at maths before that.
Typical. They do things like that at my school, too.
Hmm.
Listen, I've got an idea. I'm good at maths, so I'll help you with that during the holidays, and you can help me get my history and biology straightened out.
Well, I'm not sure. Well, I mean, I don't intend to spend all summer with my nose in some book.
Of course not.
But I guess I could help you learn up on your history. It won't matter whether I know it already or not. But as for biology, you know, sciences aren't my strong subjects.
Okay. Well, we can see how it works.
Anyway, that's enough about school. Did you see that amazing film on TV?
That is the end of exercise 1. In a moment, you will hear exercise 2. Now look at the questions for exercise 2. Exercise 2. Questions 23 to 29. Listen to this news story and answer the questions in the space provided. You will hear the news story twice.
Paramount Airways have been operating a new policy of smoke-free travel for the past 3 months with rather surprising results. No one flying with Paramount is allowed to smoke, no matter how long or short the journey may be. So that the passengers are in no doubt about the company's policy, the pilot announces the fact that no one is allowed to smoke right at the beginning of each flight. On one such flight from Corfu to Belfast, the flight was disrupted by 4 passengers who lit up in spite of the ban on smoking. The pilot came back into the passenger cabin to ask them to stop. They refused, so the captain stopped the flight in Amsterdam and forced the passengers to disembark by calling out the airport police, who marched them off the plane. When these 4 passengers finally arrived in Belfast, after managing to get a flight from Amsterdam via London at an extra cost of £200 per person, they tried to get Paramount Airways to pay for the detour. They were unlucky. On another occasion, a nervous passenger forgot about the no-smoking rule and lit a cigarette just after takeoff. She was spoken to very severely by the aircraft captain and crew. In fact, she described their behavior as callous and rude. She was very upset by the incident, because for her the takeoff was a traumatic experience, and smoking helped her to relax and keep calm. When she wrote to complain about the treatment she had received, the airline simply said that their policy was to keep the aircraft smoke-free. If she felt she had to smoke, then she should use another airline. However, after a questionnaire, the majority of other passengers were very happy with the no-smoking policy. Paramount Airways announced that they wouldn't be changing.
Now you'll hear the news story again.
Paramount Airways have been operating a new policy of smoke-free travel for the past 3 months with rather surprising results. No one flying with Paramount is allowed to smoke, no matter how long or short the journey may be. So that the passengers are in no doubt about the company's policy, the pilot announces the fact that no one is allowed to smoke right at the beginning of each flight. On one such flight from Corfu to Belfast, the flight was disrupted by 4 passengers who lit up in spite of the ban on smoking. The pilot came back into the passenger cabin to ask them to stop. They refused, so the captain stopped the flight in Amsterdam and forced the passengers to disembark by calling out the airport police, who marched them off the plane. When these 4 passengers finally arrived in Belfast, after managing to get a flight from Amsterdam via London at an extra cost of £200 per person, they tried to get Paramount Airways to pay for the detour. They were unlucky. On another occasion, a nervous passenger forgot about the no-smoking rule and lit a cigarette just after takeoff. She was spoken to very severely by the aircraft captain and crew. In fact, she described their behavior as callous and rude. She was very upset by the incident, because for her the takeoff was a traumatic experience, and smoking helped her to relax and keep calm. When she wrote to complain about the treatment she had received, the airline simply said that their policy was to keep the aircraft smoke-free. If she felt she had to smoke, then she should use another airline. However, after a questionnaire, the majority of other passengers were very happy with the no-smoking policy. Paramount Airways announced that they wouldn't be changing.
That is the end of part three and of the test. In a moment, your teacher will stop the tape and collect your papers. Please check that you have written your name and candidate number on the front of your paper. Remember, you must not talk until all the papers have been collected. Teacher, the tape should now be stopped and all the papers collected. Thank you, everyone.